Well, friends, good morning. It is good to be with you all and good to see you all. I was sharing with some folks at the earlier service that I was away this week with a group of colleagues studying, and it's the first time that I have gone away and come back since I've been here with you. So it's the first time that I left the city and then came back and thought, it's so good to be home. So I hope, it is my hope and my prayer that each and every one of you feel that way every time you come into this place, because this is home too. So with that in mind, let us join in our call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christ is risen, alleluia. Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed. To be resurrected people is to marvel in the mystery of faith. The wonders of God stretch from heaven to earth. In the name of the triune God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, let us worship God.
First reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, the first chapter, beginning with verse 1. Listen for what the Spirit has to say to the church this day. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. Listen for the word of God. "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And our gospel lesson is from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. Listen for the word of God. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So my friend Caroline trusts that everybody loves her, and I am tempted to let that be the sermon and call it a day. But you're not that lucky. So anyone from my congregations in Ann Arbor or Kansas City could tell you that Frederick Buechner has long been a favorite of mine. I quote him often, but it seems particularly sacred almost to quote him in this space, since it is in this very room in which his life took a more intentional turn toward faith. So in that way, I think to tell this story is, in some ways, to tell the story of one of our own, which is what we try to do every week, really, to find ourselves in that great mysterious story of the good news of Jesus Christ. So a friend of Fred's was the rector of an Episcopalian church, and he claims that a Christmas pageant years ago was one of his holiest days in ministry. He says the manger was down in the front of the chapel, where it always is. Mary was there in a blue cloth and Joseph in his cotton beard. The wise men were there with a handful of shepherds, and of course, in the middle of them all was the Christ child laying in the straw. The nativity story was read and carols were sung at the appropriate places, and everything went just as expected until it came time for the angels. The angels were represented by the children of the congregation, and they were robed in white and sitting all over the congregation with their parents. And at just the right moment, they were supposed to come forward from every corner and gather around the manger. And as they did so, they were to sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill among all people. And that is exactly what they did. Unfortunately, there were so many of them that the coming forward turned into a bit of jostling and pushing so that everyone could see the baby Jesus, of course, and the result is that one angel, an 8-year-old girl a bit smaller than the rest, she ended up so far out on the edges of things that even by craning her neck and standing on her tiptoes, she couldn't see what was going on. So they sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill among all people. And in the pause that followed, that small girl startled the entire church by crying out, "Let Jesus show!" Now, if you're following the story, you know there's quite a bit left. But that rector said that one of the best things he ever did was end the service right there. The congregation sat startled, and he chose to offer the benediction and send them all on their way. So the congregation filed out with those unforgettable words ringing in their ears on Christmas Eve. Let Jesus show. So I know that we're in Easter and not Christmas. I am not that confused. But even still, I think that's exactly what we have been trying to do. That's exactly what we have been talking about these last few weeks together. At Christmas, it's God's work to let Jesus show, but from Easter onward, it becomes our work too. Let the whole world see what resurrection looks like. Because the love of God that holds on to us in death, it holds on to us in life too. And surely the world would like to see that. So first, reading from John's letter, we were reminded that resurrected people seek and sustain community, because none of us can do this alone. No one can be Christian by themselves. Luke's gospel taught us that resurrected people eat together, because when we do that, we remember all the lessons we learn at Christ's table, because even now, he is the host of this table and every other table too. Peter and John in the book of Acts, they told us that resurrected people tell their stories and speak their truth, reminding us that to talk about faith doesn't require us to be certain. It just asks us to be honest. And then Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch reminded us that resurrected people, well, they trust that there is room enough within the embrace of God for everybody. And then they remind us that to trust that God loves everybody is to trust that God loves you too. And then just last week, the Psalms told us that resurrected people worship God, not because God needs it, but because we do. Because when we worship in here, we are practicing acting in here the way God longs for us to live out there. So with all of this talk over these last weeks about letting Jesus show, what are we supposed to do with this day? This day of Jesus' ascension into heaven, which is essentially the day that Jesus disappears. That's how the book of Acts begins. 40 days after Easter, the disciples and Jesus have been together this amount of time. And the disciples say, "Isn't it about time? Isn't it time for you to restore the kingdom?" And Jesus says, in a way that only he can get away with, "Well, that isn't for you to know," he says. "That's up to God, not you." And then he says, "But you have power. You have a power all your own, because you are going to be the ones to tell everybody about me." And it was then, scripture tells us, that he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of sight. And while they were still staring at where he was, but is no longer, two strangers appear and ask, "Why are you looking up?" So scholars generally agree, and it's always something when biblical scholars all manage to agree on the same thing. They generally agree that these strangers and their question, well, they come in order to remind the disciples that so long as Jesus is up in heaven, their work is down here on earth. And I think that's right. The job of those two stranger angels was to help reorient the disciples and their attention, and they needed someone to grab their feet and plant them back on the ground again. But I can't help but wonder if those same angels showed up for us today, if their question wouldn't be different. I wonder if instead of asking, "Why are you looking up?" they might ask, "Why aren't you looking up?" The world has changed so much since Luke wrote down these stories. We have more information available to us now than ever before. Google alone processes over 40,000 search queries every second. That adds up to 3.5 billion searches every day and 1.2 trillion searches every year. Apparently, we are full of answers. We have access to more information, artificial intelligence, and virtual reality than any one person could ever consume. And we are constantly connected to it with a phone in our pocket, a tablet in our bag, or a laptop on our desktop. And having all of that information, having all of those answers, well, I think it helps us have a sense of power. A sense of being in control, even if you never thought of it that way. To have answers is to have control over at least some little part of this world. If that's a new way of looking at it for you, well, surely you can relate to the inverse. When we don't have answers, we feel out of control or powerless. So like so much in this life, information can be both blessing and burden. The last time I was up in northern Michigan visiting my family, I was standing outside surrounded by lake and forest and just a few houses, and the stars were incredible. I was sitting on a swing with my niece Lily, and I said, "I wonder how many stars are out there. What do you think? What's your guess?" And the next thing I know, I heard a little beep. And my niece said into her phone, "Siri, how many stars are there in the sky?" And an electronic voice replied, "There are 1.10 to the 24th stars in the sky." And I thought, well, so much for mystery. So much for imagination and curiosity. Days gone by. But then Lily asked me what 1 times 10 to the 24th meant, and when I told her it meant a 1 with 24 zeros after it, she said in an excited voice, "I didn't know numbers went that high." And then she said, "We should probably count them." We didn't. I'd still be there. We didn't get anywhere close, but thanks to Siri again, I know that that means there are, in fact, 1 septillion stars in the sky, and that that is way more than can ever be counted. And here's the thing, knowing that it's 1 septillion stars in the sky actually doesn't crush my imagination. It expands it. Because that idea, it is way too big to wrap my mind or even my imagination around. It is information far beyond me. So after we gave up counting to 1 septillion, she ran inside to tell the others, "Can you believe it?" She said, "There are 1 and 24 zero stars in the sky," which was pretty close and good enough. "Can you believe it?" she said. "Can you believe this world we live in? There are 1 septillion stars in the sky. And nearly 14 billion years ago, all the space and all the matter and all the energy of the known universe, it was contained in a volume that is less than 1 trillionth the size of the period at the end of a sentence. 35 million people visit Central Park every year. Our bodies are made up of 37.2 trillion cells, each and every one of us. There are 352 quintillion gallons of water in the ocean, and a creature called the platypus actually exists. Can you believe it? Why are you looking up at the sky?" the strangers asked the disciples. Maybe the strangers would ask us why we aren't. The disciples were looking at Jesus' feet. We are so often looking at our phones. But frankly, I think it matters less where we are looking and more about what we do with what we find. For there is nowhere we can go that it is away from all that love divine, all loves excelling. God spoke creation into existence and called it good and very good. Jesus came and walked on this earth, and that means there is no patch of grass or dirt that is not holy. And I believe it is the Spirit of God swirling in the brains of God's people today that pushes the edge of technology and innovation and erases more and more of the line between known and unknown, which means, yes, even our smartphones can be used for a sacred purpose. Because the more we learn about this world, the more we come to understand our place in it. The poet Mary Oliver says it this way. She writes, "Truly, we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. How grass can be nourishing in the mouths of the lambs, how rivers and stones are forever in allegiance with gravity while we ourselves dream of rising. How two hands touch and the bonds will never be broken. How people come from delight or from the scars of damage to the comfort of a poem. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have all the answers. And let me keep company always with those who say, look, and laugh in astonishment and bow their heads." Whether we are looking up at the sky or down at our screens, when what we find there astonishes us or delights us, what do? We do exactly what the poet says. We say, look, because our human instinct, when we are overcome with wonder and awe and surprise, is to share it with someone else. That's why a whole restaurant applauds when a couple gets engaged. Because like everything else we've talked about this season, wonder and awe and amazement, they too draw us together. And I have to tell you, to choose to see beauty, to seek out experiences of wonder and to share them with one another, I find that to be a tremendously holy and defiant act. Especially when so many corners of this world are full of things that are ugly and broken. To celebrate beauty, even on our least beautiful days, is to declare that God's creativity will always be bigger and stronger than the worst anyone or anything can ever dish out. So let us bow our heads in wonder and awe together. Let us break bread and share a meal together. Let us tell our stories and open our doors and worship God together, come what may. Because that is what resurrected people do. And it is the power of the resurrected one that gives us the ability to do it. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
remember that it was the love of God that brought you into this place. And it is that same love of God that now sends you out into a world that is absolutely wonderful and just waiting for you to see it. But before you go, remember this. May joy and nothing less follow you all the days of your life. May you be blessed and may you be a blessing, and may you rest well today, secure in the knowledge that the Lord of Light, who has brought you this far already, will lead you and countless others all the way home. Amen.